In tape number 7, we will be reading several articles from J.N. Darby's Collected Writings, volume number 16. The next article, I Will Guide Thee With Mine Eye, on Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I'll read part of this. In the psalm before us, Psalm 32, we get the blessedness of and God's dealings with the sinner whose transgressions are removed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, not who has not transgressed, who has not sinned. Blessed is the man unto whom Jehovah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That is, the restored soul. It is important to notice the work of the Spirit of God in the process through which the soul is going here. As it says, Thy hand was heavy upon me. God's dealings with the soul that does not submit itself entirely in bringing it down into full subjection and confession. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Verses 2 through 5. This is always true, if the Lord's hand is upon a man until he recognizes the evil before God, and then there is forgiveness of the iniquity. It is very important that we should distinguish the government of God towards our souls in forgiveness. Until there is confession of sin, and not merely of a sin, there is no forgiveness. We find David in Psalm 51, when he was confessing his sin, saying, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not merely, I have done this particular evil. That he does. But he recognizes the root and the principle of sin. When our hearts are brought to recognize God's hand, it is not merely then a question of what particular sin or of what particular iniquity may need forgiveness. God has brought down the soul through the working of the Spirit on it to detect the principle of sin. And so there is confession of that and not merely of a particular sin. There is then positive restoration of soul. And then follows what, more especially, is the object of this paper. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Verse 8 and 9. Now we are often like the horse, or the mule, every one of us, and this because our souls have not been plowed up. When there is anything in which the will of man is at work, the Lord deals with us, as with the horse or the mule, holding us in. When every part of the heart is in contact with himself, he guides us with his eye. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. When the heart is in a right state, the whole body is full of light, and there is the quick perception of the will of God. He just teaches us by his eye all he wishes, and produces in us quickness of understanding in his fear. Isaiah 11:3. This is our portion as having the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, quick of understanding in the fear of Jehovah, hearts without any object save the will and glory of God. And that is just what Christ was. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 47:8. Hebrews 10:7. Where there is this, it may be bitter and painful as to the circumstances of the path, but there is in it the joy of obedience as obedience. There is always joy, and the consequence, God guiding us by his eye. Here then is the blessed, joyful state of being guided by God's eye. I have meat to eat, says our Lord to the disciples in John 4, that ye know not of. And what was that meat? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. A great range of the guidance of the Spirit is just what we get in Colossians 1:9-11 to those in communion with God. There we find the individual to be filled with the knowledge of his will. The Holy Ghost guides into the knowledge of the divine will, and there is no occasion even to pray about it. If I have spiritual understanding about a given thing, it may be the result of a great deal of previous prayer, and not necessarily of the things having been prayed about at the time. One has often had to pray about a thing because not in communion. I may have my mind exercised about that today, honestly, truly, graciously exercised, which 5 years hence it might be I should not have a doubt about. When God is using us, if we are free from ourselves, he may put it into our hearts to go here or to go there. Then God is positively guiding us. But this assumes a person to be walking with God, and that diligently. It assumes death to self. Many speak of providence as a guide. Providence does sometimes control, but it never, properly speaking, guides us. It guides things. If I am going to a place to preach, and I find when I get to the terminus that the train has started, God has ordered things about me, and I may have to be thankful for the overruling, but it is not God's guiding me, for I should really have gone had the train not left. My will was to go. All we get of this guidance of providence is very blessed, but it is not guidance by the Spirit of God, not guidance by the eye, but rather by the bit of God. Though providence overrules, it does not, properly speaking, guide.